Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So happy to be out again tonight.
Yeah.
Let's all stand, if you will. Just bow our heads before Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, with great respect, Lord, and great reverence, we come to You tonight. Lord, thankful for another opportunity, Lord, You've given us. Lord, better yet, Lord, the desire You've given us, Lord, to be here. Lord, it's such a blessing in this day and age, Lord, to have a desire. Lord, to come and meet You, to talk to You each and every day, Lord, it's such a blessing. Lord, we want to never take that for granted, Lord, but to cherish it. Lord, for You, there, You are the giver of the desire. We're so precious. We ask You to have Your way in this service, Lord. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory and Your honor. Lord, that You may receive all the glory in our lives each and every day. Lord, as the word comes forth this day, Lord, let our hearts be open. Lord, let us hunger to hear what You have for us.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask You to grant it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's such a blessing. Have a desire.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Never want to take it for granted.
Amen.
Page 127, I only believe. Are you washed? Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Turn to page 142. Amen. I'm so thankful for His light. Amen. Amen. Such a dark world.
Oh, ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in His name, Jesus, light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, light of the world. Hear the Savior's earnest call, Jesus, the light of
out at me to shine all around us by day and by night.
Yes.
That is my desire, wanting to be there every minute of my life. Every decision I make. Amen. What a desire to have. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 46. Amen. Don't take this for granted, saints. Sunlight in your soul. Amen. So many people don't even know what it is. Amen. It would be shining bright for Him. Amen. I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of His love bid all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight. Sunlight of His love within the clouds.
sin. I have had the sunlight of His love within. I cross the wide extended fields, I journey o'er the plain, and in the sunlight of His love I reap the golden grain. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within. Soon I shall see Him as He is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of His face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love with me.
Amen. I have had the sunlight of His love. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. I know I say it so many times, but boy, I'm so thankful. Amen. As much as I travel and I see so many different people and situations, the more it makes you even more thankful. You just don't know how people do it. How do they live without that peace in their heart? I just don't see how they do it, but I'm thankful that He gave it to me.
Amen.
His grace and His mercy. Brother Sellers, you mind taking up the offering? Amen. Praise His name.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative of Your grace and mercy. Lord, every day we rise up with a desire in our hearts. It's truly a privilege, Lord, to house that gene of God in us. We're so thankful, Lord, it's Your grace and Your predestination. So we ask, Lord, that we come to this part of the service, Lord, and pray that You would just bless us and multiply us. Lord, that would meet the needs here. Father, we may be able to spread. And Lord Jesus, just show all the world, Father, houses here, Father, a sanctuary that stands with Your word, Lord.
Yes.
Meet the needs that would make keep the lights on. Be a beacon for others, Lord.
Yeah.
We ask this in the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Amen.
Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals them, and let us wait the answer back to heaven. By the grace we will, oh, let us hold the fort.
Hallelujah. Give us grace. Hallelujah.
Jesus signals fear. Oh, let us weigh the answer back to heaven. By Thy grace we will. Oh, let us hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals fear. Oh, let us weigh the
grace, we will. Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart tonight? Let's just keep it before Him and remember all the ones that can't be here.
Yes.
For one reason or another, Lord knows them all. Amen. Just keep them on your heart. Keep them before Him in prayer. Brother Dino, would you mind taking a request?
Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, again, we are just so appreciative and so thankful that You have made these little opportunities possible for us, and it's just so dear to our hearts to be able to come, Lord, and to start out in worship and praising You and thinking about all that You've done for us and that which You're still doing and that which You will do, Lord. We just are so appreciative of it, and we ask, Lord, now that You would take in each one of these ones that had a need in their hearts and in their lives, whatever it may be, You already know what it is, Father. I don't know what all these things are, but you truly do know. And you know, Lord, before we even ask.
Amen.
So we ask now, Lord, that you would bless each one, Lord, as their needs rise up before you. And Father, give us each one faith and a revelation, Lord, burn in our hearts to be able to receive the promises that you've given us. That we'd be able to stand and stand true on the word of God. And Father, let people see, the people in the nation see that you're alive and
Amen.
You're real and you can answer prayer. And you do answer yes. prayer. And Lord, we appreciate it so very much from the depths of our heart. And Lord, we just pray again that you'll bless again those that couldn't be here tonight. And Lord, we thank that you've made the opportunity in a way that we could, Father, maybe be able to still see it and listen, Father, and not be here. But we know that many can't be here because, Lord, there's a reason. And we ask that you would bless them. And may you help them, Lord, through their tests and their trials. And maybe it's their flesh, their body, whatever it may be, Father. You know what it is. We ask a special blessing on them. And be with us now here as we sit around thy precious word. Open our hearts to it. Make it alive and real. And Lord, make it easy for our brother to bring it forth. And let him know that we're pulling and hungry for it now. And Father, the services this Sunday, if you should tarry to be your will, we ask that you would bless it and bless Brother George Smith when he comes forth. And Father, may you be able to see a people that truly love you and want to give their life completely to you. So we pray now thy will be done. Just guide us to the remainder of the service as we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Why don't you just draw strength from each other when you come? Worship the Lord together.
Yeah.
It's such a strength drawing, and I appreciate it with all my heart. And I love each and every one of you.
Amen.
I think this time, if we stay standing, we'll sing that little chorus. He is here.
Amen.
We ask our brother to come and bring what the Lord's laid on his heart. Amen.
He is here. Hallelujah. He
online. He's there with you. Where two or three are gathered and together in my name, I'll be there in the midst. Amen. I'm so glad he's here. Amen. You didn't come to hear me, but we've come here tonight to look into God's precious word and to draw strength and to draw whatever we need. God knows what we have need of. And though it may be sometimes maybe I'm not the best presenter, but it's still God's word. And if we'll just listen, oh, it'll do us a world of good. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once more for the grace and the strength to be here and the desire, Lord, that's brought us together this evening. And those that are watching online, Lord, the desire that's brought them to tune in with us. And Lord, we just ask that you would take these few words tonight, Lord, and may it strike our hearts in a little simple way and cause us to draw closer to you, Lord. Maybe strengthen us, encourage us, whatever's needed. Lord, you know all situations. And Lord, we just humbly come as a mouthpiece to rehearse those things that you've left us, Lord. And we just ask that in the renewing of our mind to your precious word, that it'll stir us and maybe cause us to think about things a little different, or maybe whatever channel you want it to go, Lord, you know all about it. And we yield ourselves to thee for service, Lord, and just ask that as we open up your precious word, Lord, we'll look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, and ask you to impart to us a little portion of your precious word this evening, Lord, that you would teach it to us, we pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Amen. So glad to be here this evening. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to Genesis and we'll read a scripture and then you can be seated. Amen. A little thought came on my heart earlier this week and I just thought we'd share it this evening and take a little, see if we draw something from his precious word. Amen. And here in Genesis, the second chapter, and we'll read there starting at the 15th verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eatest thereof. The day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." May the Lord add the blessings of his word. You may be seated. Amen. And then we know what happened after that.
Yes.
And then over at the 24th verse, and it says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep away of the tree of life." And how we see this scripture and realizing how early in the Bible Jesus began to hand out his precious word. And you know, he gave us his precious life-giving word to live by. And he spoke these precious words and he meant for them to be carried out exactly the way he said. And there were consequences of the disobedience, which proved out that he meant what he said would happen, and it did. Just exactly the way that he quoted it. And then if you turn with me over to Matthew, and we'll just go to the fourth chapter, book of Matthew. Establish a little, some of these things, and realizing here now Jesus came on the scene in a flesh body. In the fourth chapter, in the first verse, "And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came, he said, 'If thou beest the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And oh my, what an example is Jesus speaking here, and as he's quoting that back, and to think that that was a pretty hard trial he was going through, 40 days of fasting. And you can imagine, if you're truly hungry and smell the aroma of food and the thought of food and you're starving, oh my, the natural body wants to give in and give me a little bit of that smell that I smell. It's the human senses are trained that way. And Satan knew what he was doing. He knew how to put the right circumstance in there at the right time. But nevertheless, Jesus showing us here and making sure that he established it. "But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeded from the mouth of God." And how that's been exhorted on many years, over and over, to show us the importance of what Jesus meant when he said those precious things. And if we would turn over to Revelations and the 22nd chapter, and we'll start here, we'll just catch that 16th verse as we read this. And he says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let them that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. So we see that as we pick up this precious Bible and begin in the beginning and look in the center, and every page in between is filled with examples that God meant just what he said. Amen. And you know, we can look at every example that's been placed in there and look all the way back. And just to mention a few, you can look at as God spoke through Joshua as they were going up to Jericho and told him that that city was accursed and no one to take anything. That was God spoke to Joshua, and Joshua spoke to the people. But Achan failed to hearken because he just thought it was Joshua that gave him that command. And then we know the story how Israel paid and how Achan had to pay for what he done. But God has always proved his word out, that what he said he meant, and it would come to pass exactly the way it came to pass. Even for what was set down is to obey my word, and what happened if you didn't obey it, we see those examples. But then we also look into that precious word and we see those great examples of a virgin shall conceive. And we saw that word fulfilled. Before that great and dreadful day, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. We've seen these words fulfilled. We can go back through and look at all of this, and if we can draw anything from that, we can begin to see that God is, this Bible's not just a storybook, but these things happen just the way he said they would. And Brother Branham speaking here in the message, Sirs, we would see Jesus. This was preached July 24th, 1962, middle of the paragraph 25. He says, now that was God's decision in the Garden of Eden to save man and to fellowship with him through the shed blood of an innocent being. And he's never changed it. We'll never be able to come to a place and say we must be Lutheran, we all must be Catholic, we all must be this or that. But one place God meets man, and that's on the basis of the shed blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And it was so at the beginning. God only met man under the shed blood in the days of Job, and only the shed blood. All down through history, it's been shed blood, because that was God's first recognition to man how to save him by the blood. When God once acts, and he's called on the scene to act, don't forget this. When God is one time called on the scene to act the way he acts the first time, every time that that case is called again, or any case similar to it, he's got to act the same way he did the first time, or he acted wrong when he acted first. Now, do you understand real clear? My Indian friends understand that real clear. He was preaching to a reservation here. Look, in other words, if a man sinned and God said, I'll save him under the shed blood, then now the next man come, he's got to save him too. And the next man, and the next man, and every man. And then if a man is sick, God healed the first man on the basis of his faith in God. That's the way God healed the first man. And now every man that comes afterward, he with faith believing, God's got to do the same thing. If he didn't, he acted wrong on the first man. And now we can look back at God handing out his word and saying, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And we can see that God kept his word every time on that side of things. So as we sit here tonight, we hear the word come forth, and it shows us where we're standing. It shows us what side of the fence we're standing on. And we can truly bank our souls and our assurance that what God said, he meant wholeheartedly. And we know that we can rest assured that we look at this world, we know that the people that have taken away from the prophecies of this book and took their part shall be done away with. We can see this happening. Yes. And as he said, the plagues would come upon. We're beginning to see the first stages of some of the plagues that might come upon this earth for the sin and the corruption that's been done. But we can see it on that side. But let's take it, if God is that diligent on that side, that he's never broke his word, if he's pushed it out there and man didn't do it, he reaped what he sowed. But God has just been just as faithful to lay it out there for those that if you do what I tell you, I will do this. Just like Joshua when they went to Jericho. He told Joshua exactly how to take that city. And Joshua kept it to the letter, exactly what God told him to do. And them walls came to the ground. God never fails to follow up and back up his word. And he's proved it time and time again. And as we'll look at these examples that we have, Job, even though he let Satan take him in his hand, and he said, you can do everything to him, but don't you take his life. And Job withstood to the end everything. And God turned around and blessed him with more than he ever had to begin with. Why? Because he showed where his love was. He showed that he was diligent to what God had spoke. And he dedicated his life to that. As we go on here, just bear with me. He says, he acted wrong on the first man. You know what I mean. He's wrong when he acted first. He's got to act the same each time. And you say, well, maybe this didn't mean that. Don't you never believe that. Every word that God spoke, he means eternally. And oh, how thankful we ought to be to see that. He says, see, the word is God, so it cannot fail. And you say, well, it doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does, friends. Now look, when Lot was called out of Sodom, you people remember the story, sure. The angel said to Lot and his wife and his family, don't look back. Now think of that mother, Lot's wife. Her children was burning up down there in the judgments of God. Her grandchildren were burning up in the judgments of God. And she merely turned her head to look back. And she stands there yet today as a pillar of salt. We know that. See, it does make a difference. When God says anything, he means just what he says. Now, how many in this building, both Indian and white, that believe that God means just exactly what he says, and he cannot change?
Amen.
And Brother Branham says with emphasis, he means what he says.
Yes,
and oh my, as we look at this and we weigh ourselves in the balance of God's precious word, each time we come in here, how this... it should strike our hearts to think of that.
Yeah.
You know, this precious word comes and it shows us our short places. Maybe it's a wife being under subjection to her husband. Maybe it's us brothers and sisters having love one for another. All the different words that's come across this pulpit. And we've read and we've heard. And as we study this precious word, God means exactly what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to know for assuredly that if just for her just turning, if Lot's wife only turned back to look one last time, because her heart was breaking because of who was back behind her, and God kept his word to the letter, we're not going to get by missing one word. God's made sure of that to prove that out to us, but Jesus declared it as well, by every word shall man live. And as we see that, it brings a sacredness to our hearts and a sincerity to watch and to make sure that every word of God is being fulfilled in our hearts and in our lives, and to watch carefully. As Brother Branham says it here, improving of his word, preached in 64, kind of along the same lines. He says, in Genesis, God told Adam and Eve what would happen if they disbelieved his word. And he put it right and wrong before them. And he said, the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. And God meant just exactly what he said. He always does. He means what he says. Brother Branham always put emphasis on that when he said it. He said Satan led her to disbelieve it. For Satan himself never did believe it. And he don't believe it. So he led her to disbelieve it. And he still does the same thing. And teaches others the same. And they disbelieve it like she did. God fortified his people behind his word. And that's your only defense. Not your denomination. Not your father, nor your mother. It's all right. But behind God's word, that's the place that the believer is protected. Behind the word. And when that little avenue was broken there, with a little wonder if it's right or not, some reasoning come in and took the place of faith, they broke the bars and God kept his word. He performed it. Satan tried to get her to disbelieve it. Or reason. Don't reason with it, you say. You ain't got no right. When God says anything, just the way he said, that's the thing to do. You say, well, I think, but you ain't got no thought coming. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you, and Christ is the word. And let the word be in you, and all other words be wrong. And Christ's words is right. And others believe him and all of his reasons like she did reason. Well, why would God do this? Now, isn't this just as good as that? If it's contrary to the word, it's not. So anything, any teacher, any Bible exploiter, anything else would teach you or try to get you to believe anything one little iota different from what this Bible says. It's a false teaching. It's Satan again, just exactly like it was to Eve. And God goes right on. No matter what he does, what Satan does, God goes right on proving it to be so. Amen. Amen. And how we can truly see God has went right on proving his word to be so. And we see where we're standing tonight. And we see all this happening around us. But we want to make sure, and we read these things. Now let's turn over to, let's just start with Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. Here in Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's read something else God said. We can truly establish and see that he's kept his word for everyone that disobeyed. But now let's look at some of the other side of this, if those that are keeping those promises. But in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. And right there we see ourselves fade off the scene. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Amen. And I want you to remember that as we go through the next few scriptures and quotes. He called, he predestinated, he justified, and he glorified. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? But let's go here. I'll try to keep these in order. Let's go to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and read something Peter said here. Is after very familiar, but just bear it in mind. As I said, we must remember who's speaking to us all the time. Now, Peter was the mouthpiece at this stage in life. And he was the lips that God was speaking through. But this was God speaking to his chosen few, those that he had called and predestinated. And Peter's here, we'll just start there at the 36th verse as he was got done preaching to the people. He says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And tonight I stand here a recipient of that scripture. And each one of us has got to see that for ourselves, that God did exactly what he said. When I repented of my sins and I was baptized and came to him, he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And set my feet on a straight and narrow way and gave me a desire down in my heart to thirst for him, to hunger for him, and to see every word fulfilled. And we must draw strength from that fact. If we've come this far and we can see this scripture that I'm a recipient and I stand here tonight, you've got to see yourself there. That I stand here and know that that's been fulfilled to me. And by God's grace, I know I was one of them in Romans 8 that he called, predestinated, justified, and glorified to be here to be a recipient of that. Amen. Turn over to John with me, the 6th chapter. Amen. All very familiar scriptures, but just take them and place them in your heart. Amen. The 43rd verse of the 6th chapter of John. Jesus, let's go ahead and read this. Just think about this. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up. at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and that they shall be all taught of God, and every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Amen. Now go to John 14 with me. Let's just put these two together in our hearts. Amen. We'll just catch the 17th verse to catch what Jesus was saying. 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now think of that. Who is Jesus? Who was in him? Amen. Think about it. And he says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, you'll live also. Amen. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. And then down there in the 26th verse, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. We repented, we were baptized, we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Comforter has come. And now he's here teaching me and guiding me into all truth. As I said here each time, wherever he calls me to read the word or to be under the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. And then if you look back at that sixth verse, it says, and it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. And what is the Holy Ghost? God in spirit form. Think about it, saints. He has kept his word to the letter. And we sit here and we read this precious word. And what an excitement it ought to bring into our hearts when I can look into this precious word. And I know that over in Revelations, as the messages were given to the church ages, he said, to the overcomer will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And as I've heard this word and been taught by the Holy Ghost and the Comforter on the inside teaching me and guiding me into all truths, I've seen this body come subject and in tune with God's precious word. Amen. And seeing each one of these scriptures, I have become a manifestation to prove that God keeps his word today the same as he did throughout this entire book. Hallelujah. And each one of us has got to see that that's our place and our portion of God's precious word. We're standing here today. And the other words that are in here, ask what you will, and it shall be done. If our hearts condemn us not. All these precious words are speaking to you and to me. But we've got to find our place in there. And that first place it's got to come is to know that I was a recipient of Acts 2:38. And once I know I was a recipient of that, then all of this other word will start to fall in line in my heart and in my life. And we'll see the reality of it start to come. We'll see that overcoming begin to take place. That growing is a calf in the stall. And as that growing's taking place, what an assurance it's bringing into my heart. When I see that little bitty acorn sprout the first piece of an oak tree, the first little sprig comes up out of the ground, and I see maybe the first little leaf that says, oh, I don't have to worry if it's going to be an acorn tree. It's going to be there because God predestinated it to be an acorn tree, and it's going to come to maturity just the way God's seen it in his mind. And by God's grace, those whom he called and glorified and justified and already glorified and stuck them here. All this precious word's lining up in our hearts and in our lives. What a joy it ought to bring as we see the turmoil that's happening in the world around us. As we see the life that's coming into the vine and seeing God come on the scene in our hearts and in our lives, calling us away from this turmoil and this chaos. He's called us out of this world to be a bride and to be drawn to him with a reality that this word would live and express. Amen. And not somebody that's just reading a word and claiming to be a message believer and our lives are in shambles. But God has called us back to this precious word to be a reality that he means what he says and he will fulfill it exactly. Amen. Because today we are written epistles, read of all men is what we're to be. Amen. And that's to show that this word is a true manifestation that to them that are afar off, is today being vindicated through God's precious word. Amen. And maybe you haven't been a recipient of that, but it's here if you want it. God will reward you if you're truly looking for it. There is a way to start. Amen. Amen. And he will guide you and lead you into all truths if you will but yield to him and follow the instructions that he handed down in this precious word and see it bring the results that he said it would bring. Amen. It'll work 100% exactly for you as it's done for me and anybody else that's ever took him at his word. It'll bring the results that God said would be there. But oh my, take him at his word. He means what he says. If in faith believing, if you can just grab a hold of him. Oh my, take him at his word. It'll see it come to pass. Amen. Let me see here. Where's it going to go? Amen. Let's turn over here to Ephesians real quick, the 6th chapter. And we'll read this. Amen. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Is that said right? That doesn't sound right. I think it's the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. Amen. That ain't right either. Give me just a moment. Amen. Amen. I don't know how I did it, but I didn't write down the chapter I was looking for here. Give me just one moment. We'll find it. Amen. Here we go. It's Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. Just got it off here. And let's go here to the 25th verse. Amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How thankful we ought to be when we see this word being fulfilled in our lives. It's nothing that we can do in ourselves. It's a life you can't live yourself. It's a desire you can't manufacture on your own. But it takes Jesus Christ to come in the inside and make this precious word live. And how each one of us, as we sit here, if we've seen this word speak to our hearts and our bodies quickly come subject to it, and we see the changes start to come, how thankful we ought to be. It's the earnest of the resurrection expressing through our bodies that on that day I will not be left sitting here, but I will be raised up in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And we see that reality taking place, but we've got to see that we have to be the fulfillment of this precious word in this last day. We got to be the manifestation of what would happen to a people that was housing that little portion of that gene of God that was placed here before the foundation of the world. Amen. Here in the message, Proving His Word, also preached August 16th, it's the same message, just down a little bit farther, paragraph 87. Brother Bram says, Noah was sent to a scientific age with an unscientific message. Noah was sent to an intellectual age with an unintellectual message. He was sent to an age of science, and when he had a message of faith and promise to a scientific age. And I want you to think about it today. Look at the scientific age that we're in. We're wearing masks. We're doing all these things to try to keep away from a sickness, trying to do all we can with our scientific powers to protect and to keep people protected. And we must. But I want you to look, where's our faith at today? Always keep that in mind. It's always good to obey what we're to do, and we should, and always make sure we're going that route. But where is my faith placed? Because today or tomorrow, I might have worn my mask all day, and I might have sanitized my hands as good as I could and did all I could do, and I might still wind up with this virus that's running rampant through the land. But I've got to have my faith someplace else, and I've got to be able to remember that I can lay my hand into that precious book. And he said if he ever healed one person on the basis, he has to heal the next one the same way. And there's some mighty bad viruses and plagues that was in that book. And God's healed others. May we keep that in our hearts and in our minds as we move through these last few days. We're living in a scientific age, but don't put your faith in what science has taught us. Don't put your faith in what man has trained us to be. But remember, God called us for a purpose in this last age. He said it was God's word and God was keeping his word. And that's the same thing today. We're at the end time. Those people ought to have known. As our brother was rehearsing that to us Sunday. It's of the times and season, brethren. I don't need to write to you. You know perfectly. We've been well taught and we see it, the signs approaching and coming, and how that ought to make the sincerity in our hearts and the closeness, just as it did on the day when the death angel was passing through the land of Egypt and they were putting the blood on the doorpost. They were making sure to make sure that everything was lining up, and that's where our hearts ought to be tonight. Amen. Is making sure, am I lining up 100% with what I've heard already and not letting any of it slip? But oh my, holding on to it with all that's in me.
Yes.
He says, now the same thing today. We're at the end time and those people ought to have known. See, you notice Noah was a type of the Jews that'll be carried over through the tribulation. But Enoch was a type of the real message of the translation of the church. For Enoch was taking up and then the flood came. Both of them, the first prophet Enoch was taking out of the way so Noah could go on with his. God could go on with Noah. And the church will be taken away so that God can deal again with the Jews and the remnant of the Jews and the 144,000 as we've been through the scriptures here. But in the face of all the scientific and unbelieving age, God proved his word of promise true by sending them the flood. And now we got all kinds of beliefs in our own message, we call it. There's many ideas. Oh, I heard brother so-and-so say this, and I heard brother so-and-so say that. And the great teacher so-and-so said it this way. And I kind of agree with this fellow over here. The way he said it, I think it sounds right. But God's already given a clear-cut decision, and he sent a messenger in this last day to make sure that it was spotless and right on the way that it needed to be. And we must make sure that we don't ever let somebody else's little doctrine creep into the way we think about things, but always go back to God's precious word.
Amen.
And find our answer there. He says, but in the face of all the scientific unbelieving age, God proved his word of promise true by sending them the flood. Now remember, in the days of Noah, it had never rained upon the earth, and God had a mist to come up out of the earth to irrigate, but it never rained. But Noah said, it's going to rain. They could take an instrument and shoot up in the skies and say, there's no moisture up there. There's no rain there. We can prove there's no rain there, regardless of what science said. God said it was going to rain, and so that does it. What did God do? To my opinion, when some of them shook the world a little and threw it off cater, and then threw it back this way, and the heat of the earth into the cold only brought the moisture, and the world was covered over first, and the atmosphere up there, and the humidity in the air just come together in a form of a cloud and let it down, and that was all. Now, we know today that there's fire up there because the gases are in the earth. And the Bible said the heaven and earth will pass away with a great noise, and the earth shall melt with fervent heat. So we know that it's up there. So just the same as it was in the days of Noah. Now remember, the message of Noah's time was only by faith and not scientific proven. But today, the message is according to the word of God and scientifically proven. Think about that. God was making sure everybody had an opportunity, whether you want to do, it's proven both ways, by faith and by scientific proof, that God's Elijah come first doing miracles, not doing any preaching, just going from place to place doing miracles. The next time he come in the form of John the Baptist, he come doing no miracles, just preaching. And the third time he comes, there's both miracles and preaching. See how it is? Watch how in continuity the scriptures run. And we could just spend plenty of time on that. But we won't. We'll omit it because I believe you've got the idea and I believe you know what he's saying.
Amen.
Amen. He did that in the age just as he did in all ages. And like he will do just as he promised to do. God promises anything. And then he comes down and proves his word to be right. And all that believe it, all that believe the message of the age come in and was saved. And so will it be in any age. All who did not believe the message and the messenger perished. But all who truly believe the word of God today will be taken out. All that does not believe the word of God will perish with the world, because they are of the world. And everything that's in the world must perish with the world. And everything that's saved in God must be in God and cannot perish. I'll give them eternal life and raise them up at the last day. What a consolation to every believer to know when you're in Christ that just as sure as God keeps his word and perishes the world, he keeps his word and raises his people up and saves them. He proves it. Amen. And how that ought to put such a fire in our hearts to make sure that I can truly look at my life and look at this precious word and I see a match. If I see a short place, I quickly run to overcome that thing or to get it out of my life and to do away with it. No one, nothing to hinder me. We have the word and it's been presented to us. We know, we've seen both sides and we know where we stand as individuals before God. We know where we're standing right now. Amen. But we know he'll keep his word on both sides. If we match that word, hallelujah, we shall rise. But if we know now that we're thinking that that one word's just not that important in my life, I don't think it's got to be just that. We know where we're going to fall. But God has given us an undivided, there's no question about it. It's wrote out in front of us. We know where we're standing one way or the other. And oh my, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me. And oh my, may we truly find ourselves hidden in this precious word today. But oh my saints, may it strike our hearts as we see what's going on around us. Just as surely as that water fell when Noah said it was going to rain, and it rained. And it came and that world was destroyed. But oh my, to know that that fire is going to fall one day. And it's going to clean this old earth off. But by God's grace, if I know that I can find myself in those recipients of those scriptures and see my life lining up, I know I'm fixing to take a one-way trip out of here. Yeah. Amen. I thank God for what he's placed in our hearts, saints, what he's given us. You sisters can come to the instruments. We're living in an age of sincerity, a time it's serious. And people go to church every day, and they sit and listen to this precious word, and they hear it preached, and the preacher's labor, and it comes, and it comes. But as individuals before God, we've got to find it in our own lives, the reality that I know where I am setting before Jesus Christ. And it's given right here for us. And tomorrow I might find a short place. And by God's grace, I pray he'll give me the grace and the strength to overcome that place in my life. And to keep pressing on. I've got a little flame. Let me cherish what I have and continue to fan it. And to keep pressing on it, that God would grow it into a great and burning desire and a zeal to do exactly what he wants to do in this last finishing moments of time. And not get caught up with the cares and the woes of this life, but keep my eyes on what I've been called for. I've been sent for a purpose. You've been sent for a purpose. And by God's grace, we're seeing the fulfillment of it come to pass. Many prophets and righteous men have longed to see this day. And we're standing here. And oh my, may we truly raise up our hands and say, thank you, Lord. I want to be ready. I want to be one of them that's right there with you all the way. It's proving that this precious word is true. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. I'd like to sing this little chorus here on page 29 in our little books as our brother comes, if you would. Amen. I was just thinking about this. Amen. God's word is so precious. Each time we read it, we find things in there that just gel together, maybe strike our hearts a little greater. Amen. Some folks are building homes down here and planning ahead. So busy with their fortunes, they forgot what Jesus said about the wars and earthquakes and the fig tree budding leaves. But there's a group of people getting ready. Ready to leave in the twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparations, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to leave? Brother, what's the reason for your needless delay? While you're hesitating, Christ could come just any day.
that bank up in the sky. Happy preparation's not a reason to grieve. Oh, yeah, remember getting ready to leave. Amen. Isn't that true? How we ought to be the people that truly, as Apostle Paul said, loving the appearing of the Lord. And truly with what God has given us, how we ought to love Him. You know, when you become more and more assured, as our brother was bringing the things tonight he brought, we ought to be a people that we know what we're looking for. We know what's going to happen. By God's grace, we know you're in that number. You know your election. You're chosen of God. Why wouldn't you love the appearing of the Lord? And you're getting sick of this old world down here. Nothing enticing about it. Just tired of it, you know. And I was thinking about him talking about that match. Matching with Christ and so forth, and I couldn't help but to think of what it said in the book of Romans. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Grace, mercy, nothing we could do. But through predestination, we was predestinated to be matched up. Oh my, isn't He wonderful? I appreciate those words tonight. May we just be, let it just ring through our hearts every day, every night. Amen. Constantly be renewing our hearts and minds in the Word of God, praying, reading, studying the Word of God. You know, people's always got time for a lot of other things, but do we make time for all what God wants us to do? You know, reading, praying, waiting, meditating on the Lord. You know, make sure you always make time for that, saints. That's the most important thing in life. So don't never forget that. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we appreciate these precious words our brother brought forth. And it's so good, Lord, by your mercy and grace. And truly it is, Lord, it is grace. But Lord, when we gather under the Word of God and we listen to these precious scriptures and the quotes that your prophet brought and have our minds renewed back to it, how it's such a blessing, Lord, to look at it and see by grace and mercy that we are that word. We are that word. And how we appreciate that, Lord. It's nothing that we could have done. Lord, there's no way, it's impossible that any of us could have gave ourselves a desire to serve you. It just can't happen, Lord. But Father, that alone even comes through you and by you. Lord, through predestination, through that election, that Father, we would stand for the word and we'd be able to recognize the word. That's a blessing also, Lord, and be able to understand that you gave a prophet in this age and all these other things that our brother spoke of even tonight, how it just is truly such a blessing to look at it. And when the word's being read and say by grace, he's reading about me. He's reading about you. Oh, what a blessing, Lord. So we appreciate that. And may you just let these words ring through our hearts now as we dismissed from this little building, and truly not dismissed from your presence, but truly walk in your presence, walk in the Spirit, be led to the Spirit of God, walk by faith and not by sight. All these precious words, Lord. So we ask now again that you just go with us and keep us safe upon the highways. And Lord, again, as we prayed earlier, just bless our services this weekend. If it be your will, Lord, that we could be here and that you would tarry. Just thy will be done, Lord, above everything. In your most glorious, precious name we ask again, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. Yes. No, right here, my brother. Amen. Wonderful.
Don't think I could leave without thanking the Lord.
Amen.
You know, as you all know, the last month of our family's life has been a little hectic. Between owning a business and 5 kids at home, it gets a little